Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the teaching of the word. Thank you for eyes that see. Thank you for ears that hear. Thank you for hearts established in the truth. Thank you for hearts, Father, established in the grace of Christ. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for illumination. We receive enlightenment, and we thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for boldness. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Say, my eyes can see, my ears can hear, my heart is open to receive the truth of the word. Say, I receive understanding. I receive the light of the truth of the word. Say, my mind is open and attentive to the truth of the word. And I'm better. I receive spiritual development. Tonight, I receive understanding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you can have your seat. Glory to God. Once again, before I start teaching, it's always a privilege to share with God's people, to teach. I never take that for granted. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Tokwe Omoba for this privilege to be a blessing to you. Thank you to him, his family, and the entire church. I'm grateful for this platform. And once again, I do not take it for granted. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so maybe I should do this today. I want you to celebrate your pastor. On your seat, Abby. When I'm satisfied, you sit down. He's satisfied, but I'm not satisfied yet. With honor and reverence. With honor and reverence. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Thank you. Amen.
We love you, Papa.
I love you, Master. Thank you, sir.
Don't blame me when I go and you get punished for this. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, because that's the right thing to do. It's always good to honor those who have been placed over you, not just in word, but also in deed. Hallelujah. Be proud to call your pastor, pastor, everywhere, anytime, and honor the ministry that is done towards you. And when we say honor, yes, in all ramification, in giving, in reverence, in your attitude, in your words, in your conversation, in your thoughts, honor the gift of God to you. And I'm thankful to God for his life, for his wife, his family, and all of that. I hold them very dearly because they are dear to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. This might not be a continuation, but it can suffice, and I don't mind recapping what we did on Monday to also bring us to remembrance and stir up our pure minds to know that it is of necessity that the believer in Jesus must pay detailed attention to knowledge. Like I said on Monday, many people downplay on knowledge in the church today. Some say, well, it's not about what you know. It's about, the results. Or it's not about how much scripture you can quote. It's about the big God or the God that is backing you and all of that. So much folks have shifted their attention from the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is concerning the Son of God himself. You know, so when we talk about knowledge, we're not just saying, referring to a mountain of facts. We're referring to detailed and persistent and deliberate and intentional focus on the Son of God. It's imperative. It's all that we have to do as believers in Jesus. So never downplay on knowledge. Never, 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 never. If the issue is quoting many scriptures, it shouldn't be an issue anyway, because we've come to see that the reason for the local church, as it has been established, is to feed the man in Christ with the word of God. Okay? So however it comes, in whatever language, whatever however systematic approach is taken, receive it, because it is for you to gain understanding. Foremost in the local church is receiving knowledge. Knowledge is taught, and knowledge is received, learnt to be understood. And like we said, looking at 2 Timothy 2 and 2, Ephesians 4, we realize that when teaching is done effectively, it makes the one who has been taught to teach well. And then, if he also teaches another well, then he makes that one who has been taught well to also teach well. And the cycle continues. Hallelujah. So, be deliberate about knowledge. Don't get tired. If he gets bored, keep at it, because it's what you are to do. So it's not an issue of, it's interesting. You know, service was fun. You know, we were just laughing as pastor was teaching. And, you know, by the time it gets boring, that you have to look through Genesis to Malachi in one service, and you are opening and your hand is paining, just follow. Continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to feed on the knowledge of his Son. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Who will have all men to be saved? And then verse 3 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will have all men? That is, God our Savior will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So never downplay on spiritual development. You know, is as important as the salvation of a man from sin. One comes before the other. Yes, you save a sinner from sin. And then once he's saved, there's no need to be led about it, to grow the believer. Hallelujah. That is God's will. That is God's intent. And of course, that is God's mandate for us as a church. Hallelujah. So knowledge towards you, always receive it. And of course, wake up the teacher and you if it is sleeping. Wake it up and teach. If you are still thinking that I'm not a teacher, then what are you? What does it mean to teach? Let's keep it very simple. If you understand something very well, to teach is to use either the words of your teacher or at best, depending on your audience, your own words showing how well you understand it to communicate effectively to someone who needs to know that the person at the end of your teaching is able to understand. So it's not an issue of a title or, you know, how oratory you are, how well you can speak, how eloquent and all of that. No, it is to simply communicate effectively to another that that person is able to understand. Hallelujah. We looked at Luke 24 yesterday, 25 to 27, 44 down to 46. And it was recorded that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He expounded, and we looked at that word, dia emenuo, taken from two words, dia, which means through, and then emenuo, which means to translate, or better still, to interpret. In other words, Jesus took Genesis to Malachi and he interpreted it. He brought meaning to it. And in bringing meaning to it, the folks who were before him were able to at least relate that, hey, what was spoken through, or better still, what happened in Jerusalem some few days back is what the scriptures have been about from the beginning. Hallelujah. He expounded in verse 45, same chapter, Luke 24. He says, "Then open ye their under." He was the one that did so. Didn't say that. Okay, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me, then their understanding was opened. If it's written that way, it's okay. But it's instructive to note how it was written that he opened their understanding. How? Because of what he did. Via the teaching. So the responsibility lies on us as believers to take our teaching ministry seriously. If there is a believer before you and you have responsibility towards that believer, your teaching is a tool of God to grow up that saint. And like we said, not just, like you are just praying bullets here and there. It's a deliberate attempt. You are teaching, you are expecting growth, you are doing it deliberately. You are using the right words. You know, you are finding out if the person is understanding. If not, you teach again. You use other words. You expound. You do an exposition. You open it up for it to be clear in the mind of that man. So this is very instructive. Very. Hallelujah. So let no one say, I don't know how to teach, or I'm not a teacher. That's not the issue. The issue is pay detailed attention to the teaching of God's word towards you. When you do that well enough, you will discover that you're a teacher. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, Philemon chapter 1, just one chapter. Philemon, just one chapter, from verse 4. It says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So how do we interpret this verse? Is it love and faith toward Jesus and love and faith toward saints, or faith toward Jesus and love toward saints? Hallelujah. Then verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's a very lovely verse, very instructive. It's something that always should stir a believer up. Now let's examine this verse. It says that the communication, that word communication is the Greek word koinonia, which depending on the context you use it, could mean fellowship, sharing, participation. Okay? And then here, communication is used. It says that the communication of thy faith, so sharing, fellowship, participation of thy faith may become effectual. Now, in Bible study, you should learn to observe what the writer is saying and also pay attention to understand the usage of words. You know, many times I remember years ago, we're taught faith. Faith is this, you know. We were taught that, you know, Hebrews 11:1 is the definition of faith. And just look at faith basically as, you know, that capacity to believe for something or believe in something. And then anyway, just see faith in Bible, just say, okay, it is that it is referring to. But not so, okay? And there are certain places, many places. We saw one yesterday in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, right? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And Paul immediately explains himself that faith there is what? The knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So if you look at this, you know, it won't be referring to how you believe, or as it were, but we'll be referring to faith as per doctrine, okay? So it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, all right? May become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So we looked at the first word, communication, that's koinonia. Now the next word is effectual. It's the Greek word energies, okay? G-E-S. It means to be active, operative, powerful. Active, operative, powerful. Okay? Now, the next word we'll examine will be acknowledging. Okay? I'm sure you should be very used to that. Here, epignosis, that's the word. And it could mean accurate, precise, or exact knowledge. It would also mean full comprehension. It could also be full recognition. Okay, so when you look at that, it's just simply saying coming to the fullness of knowledge concerning a thing, depending on, you know, what you're talking about. Of course, I believe you shouldn't be saying something like epignosis is the revelation of Jesus. That would be funny. It depends on where you use the word. You know, like we learned years back that agape is the love of God. But not really so, okay? Is just a Greek word. All right? And it doesn't mean the love. It depends on where you use it. Or you find folks that say grace is a person. No, you need to take it easy. All right? It depends on the context where grace is used. Or you say Zoe is the life of God. It depends on the verse you are referring to. Hallelujah. So in a particular portion, Zoe will be the life. In some others, Zoe is not the life of God. Okay? So, epignosis is coming to exact and precise knowledge, accurate, having full comprehension, you know, having a full disclosure concerning knowledge. All right? So, follow. And please don't forget the tenses, how the word was used. It says, by the acknowledging, present continuous, right? Of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So, let's look at it again. Like I said, that when we look at Greek words, Hebrew words, to understand Hebrew words, you know, Greek words, you find them in Hebrew and Greek dictionaries. They're just dictionaries, okay? To understand the usage of words so that the verse we read can make more meaning. All right? So, that the participation or the sharing of your faith may become effectual. Don't forget those definitions. Well, that would be operative, right? Powerful or active by the acknowledging, you know, that coming to full recognition or comprehension of every good thing that is in you, which is in Christ. So, firstly, from this verse, you should see something, that there are things in you and they are good. Hallelujah. You know, the Greek word good thing there means or it refers to something that is good in every sense. Every sense of good. Okay? In other words, that thing is beneficial. It's of high value. So there are things in you, and don't forget, by the time he says things in you in Christ, that already says a whole lot. That by virtue of redemption, when Jesus died, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended to sit at the right hand of God, certain things became reality in you. So, these good things in you are a result of redemption, fruit of redemption. And then we've seen that these things are good, they are of value, of benefit, better still, of high value. Okay? But he says that there is an acknowledging to be done. There is an acknowledging to be done about those things in you. But it doesn't just say, acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ. It doesn't just say that. It says, your sharing or participation in the faith will be active and powerful. Will be operative by the acknowledging. So it looks like a proportional statement to me that your effectiveness in your participation in the faith will be influenced or directly proportional to your acknowledging of the things in you. Is that correct? Come on, are you listening? So, how well you acknowledge is how effective your participation in the faith is. It's that simple. So obviously, it looks as though, of course, you know, he was speaking to Philemon, and then he was telling him that the communication of your faith will become by acknowledging. So telling him that there is an acknowledging that you need to do, okay, that will enhance or make more productive your participation in the faith. So this lets us see something, that there are things in us and there is a role you have to play. There is a responsibility on your part, which is to acknowledge, to be precise, detailed, exact with knowledge. To be detailed, to be intentional with learning. And also to be repetitive in your learning. You say, well, I've learned it. There's no need to write. Or there's no need to know it again. There's no need to pay attention again. You know, you find people, when the preacher shows up and he says, folks, turn your Bible to John 3:16. And they don't turn. They say, John 3:16. Is it not for God so loved the world? Well, you are killing yourself. All right? To be repetitive about knowledge. You go over it again and again and again. Because you have a goal. You are looking at something. There is a journey to exact, accurate, precise knowledge, full comprehension, and recognition. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Let's read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his holy prophets. You see that? Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Okay? So, what God has promised, he calls it the gospel of God, promised in the scriptures. God promised that afore by the prophets in the holy scriptures. And it's concerning who? His son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Okay, so seed of David according to flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by which whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, concerning his son, this is from verse 3 now, you know, from the scriptures. That so Paul is attesting to this fact that there are things that were prophesied in scripture. We saw a whole lot of that on Monday, you know. And it's concerning Jesus, the Son of God, who was made according to the flesh, the seed of David, but now made the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, let's jump and get to verse 15. So as much is in me is, as much as in me is, beg your pardon, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So see how Paul speaks in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, if you do not get the point of verse 15, verse 16 may not make sense. Okay? Because verse 16 is not a confession in Christ. Say after me, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto. It's not what I'm looking for, the very right words to use. This is from Paul's conviction of what he knows the gospel to be. So when he said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that be in Rome also. Verse 16 is now the reason behind what he said in 15. Do you understand that? Say, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Imagine someone now ask a question, what do you mean? Or maybe take, for instance, Rome is boiling. They are looking for believers to kill. And they say, I'm ready. And then he puts a reason to it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That word ashamed in the Greek, epiaskonomai, I hope it's correct, but just write it down as you can. It means to feel shame for something. It's gotten from two words, epi and aiskonomai. Okay, aiskonomai means to feel shame. Okay, or disgrace, or to disfigure something, or dishonor. All right? Epi, you know, connotes superimposition, when you superimpose on something. So when those two words come together, you know, because of something, you are brought under shame. Now, if you look at that closely, it's not just loosely saying shame, but referring to a fact that this is the truth of the gospel, and I know and believe and I'm convinced of what it is. Therefore, there will be no shame on my part concerning the gospel. This is not talking about shyness. You know, this is referring to the fact that I take the gospel for what it is. I know it is the power of God to save. So I cannot be brought under shame as far as this gospel is concerned. Therefore, don't forget this, I will preach it. Let me use a simple example. If there's a sinner before you now to preach to, and you start feeling like, what if he doesn't believe? What if he doesn't even listen to me? What if, you know, or maybe he's a Muslim and you're thinking, what if he doesn't even want to hear? What if he has many questions? What if he does not believe that Jesus is God because God does not have a wife? What if? And you're thinking up many things. You know, we can answer from what Paul says here, that it's as though you are ashamed of the gospel. Not that you don't want to be called bro or seen as an SU. That's not the issue. The issue is the message you have to preach, you don't consider it as potent. You don't think it can turn that man around. You feel that you may be mocked. So, why should I? You know, your eyes are not on the potency of the message. That's what Paul is saying here. For I am not ashamed. So, that we see in verse 16 is what informs his readiness to preach in verse 15. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Then he defines the gospel of Christ and says what? It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, it's good to take these words together. What do I mean? Have you heard before that the gospel is the power of God? Come on. Is the gospel the power of God? Well, we can agree. But in this verse, Paul did not say the gospel is the power of God. He said the gospel is the power to save. What he's saying here is logical. He's not trying to bring out a formula that the gospel is equal to the power of God. Gospel equal to power of God. So like you're doing equation. So if gospel is equal to power of God, then the gospel is equal to the grace of God. Therefore, the power of God is equal to the grace of God. That's not what he's saying here. He's communicating something to you that the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, or better still, what God did in Christ to save man. What God accomplished in Christ to save man. Paul says it is the ability of God to save a man. So, think about it like this. You know, the same way people feel as though in Acts 9, when Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute believers, and then, boom, a light shone, and then, you know, he got arrested on the way, and then he turned blind and all of that. And Jesus spoke to him and he spoke back and all of that. And people just rapidly read that portion and say, ah, Paul is the only one. Well, maybe, or one of the people that God arrested outside his will. But, you know, that would be very funny. Okay? God simply just stopped him from persecuting the saints. Any man that needs to be saved today must believe the gospel in his heart. Okay? Which will consequently result in confessing the gospel with his mouth. Alright, I was going somewhere. I think I've mixed up, but let's just continue. So the gospel is the power of God to save. God's power to save. That's the gospel. So, if Okay, I think I was trying to say that if God wants to save a man, like we think, you know, he saved Paul by force, you know, outside of his will. If God wants to save someone, the best we should think about is the message of the events of the gospel preached. That is, follow me, that is as powerful and even more in that reasoning of God snatching someone and saying, be saved. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, if you are thinking that God can, in his almightiness, just snatch somebody and save the person from sin, it is the gospel that is able to do that. That message, preaching it to a man to be saved. Are you following this? That message is the potency of God. He has raised Jesus from the dead already. And he has said that the message be preached in his name, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Paul, seeing this and realizing this, then says to himself that I am ready. It wasn't some, maybe he did 30 hours of praying, and after that he just said this, I'm ready. No, he was speaking from a position of deep conviction. Are you listening? That this gospel, I know what it is. I know what God did in Christ. Therefore, I'm ready to preach it. Because I know it is the power of God to save. Hallelujah. Say with me, say the gospel is the power of God to save. Come on, say the gospel is the power of God to save. Hallelujah. So, what is this gospel? The Bible says it's the power of God to save. 1 Corinthians 15. From verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and from verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, I marvel that he has also removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In other words, the grace of Christ, which he already has defined, he says, who gave himself for our sins. Verse 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Okay, so that's why, which is, then verse 7, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert what? The gospel of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1.
and the glory that should follow. Okay? Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So the gospel is clear. It is the work God did in Christ for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for sins. 2 Corinthians 5. From verse 14, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not, that they which live, beg your pardon, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known him, known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, a ministry of reconciliation, and then the word that is the message of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God is besieged by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, the gospel is very clear, and it is the power of God to save you. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. Now, if you observe these verses, you see something clear. Well, Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. And then he says what he prayed and expounded what he prayed and then said why he prayed what he prayed. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at these verses, we see something clear, that Paul begins to put the facts of the gospel, put forward the facts of the gospel, and then the reason for his prayer is because There are facts of the gospel the believer ought to fellowship with. And he took that responsibility on himself to teach them. And he then begins to pray that they are able to see, they are able to know, as they should, these facts of the gospel. But remember, you know, that what these saints had will be Genesis to Malachi. Right? And then the gospel, as promised afore, like we saw in Romans 1, has been fulfilled in the Son, and he needed to show the saints from the scriptures how this has been fulfilled. And so he was praying for them that their eyes are open to see from the scriptures what he's teaching them. Okay? So one, that they are able to see that what he's teaching them is from the scriptures. And then two, that they understand. You know, it will inform us about your understanding if you say you understand the epistles, but don't think they are discoveries from the scriptures. You know, we read 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 15, Peter's affirmation of Paul. Account logs, no, not that. Yes, is that it? Let's go there. Yes, yeah, that's where I was going. I just wanted an account that the Lord's suffering of our Lord's salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul has accord, our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And obviously from here, we'd see that the revelation in the epistles, the revelation, the knowledge found in the epistles, will be the revelation of the scriptures. In other words, what you find, taught in the epistles were discovered from the scriptures. So you cannot say you understand the epistles and not know that they are from the scriptures. And not know that they are discoveries of the scriptures. Okay? So Peter was saying that those who struggle with Paul's epistles, which is concerning salvation, they also struggle with scriptures. Because Paul's epistles are the understanding of the scriptures. You remember Luke 24, 44 and 45. 45 says, then openly they understand that they may understand the scriptures. The understanding of the scriptures is concerning Jesus. In the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. That things were spoken afore to be fulfilled concerning Jesus. Okay? Now, back to Ephesians 1. So, let's examine these verses. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Like we used the TSKS rule, you can also apply it here, you know, to see that it's not saying he will give you the spirit of wisdom and maybe also the spirit of revelation, knowledge of him, or Spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge. The spirit of wisdom is revelation in the knowledge of him. Always remember this, that these people had Genesis to Malachi, that they needed to see how that the things which were spoken beforehand through the prophets have been fulfilled in Jesus. Okay? So, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. So, we can as well say that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you revelation in the knowledge of him. Is that correct? Come on, are you there? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Then he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Of course, the word knowledge there, epignosis. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, verse 17 is the summary of the prayer. Are you there? Verse 16 says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Then he says what he prayed, a summary, that God grant you revelation in the knowledge of him. Then he further expounds on that and says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That you may know. That you may know. So, there is knowledge to attain to. There is a full comprehension and recognition concerning the Son that God expects the believer in Christ to busy his mind with. There is an understanding that God requires the believer in Christ to have concerning his Son Jesus Christ. So, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. Then verse 19 now says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? So, we can as well read 19 like this. And to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power. Right? Come on, are you in church? Okay? Then verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. So, is explaining the power he talks about. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Then he goes ahead to expound on what he just said. Far above all. He said just a continuation. Right, he's still speaking from 19, as a matter of fact, from 18. Okay, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth on all. Now, take a look at something. From verse 17, how does it start? It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? So, when the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, who is granting unto you? That's God, right? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19. When you come to know the exceeding greatness of his power, who would that be? God, right? To us what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. You know, who is that pronoun referring to? God, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised Christ from the dead and set at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and And he says all of that. So, if you look at this, from 17 down to 23, just in layman's terms, or just with a simple view, it looks like this. God accomplished something in his Son, and Paul prays to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us, right, or them, revelation concerning what he has done. Are you following this? Concerning what he has done. So, from verse 19, or let's say 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, these are things that he has done in his Son, that he prays that God would grant revelation. Are you there? These are the things God has done in Christ that Paul prayed that God would grant revelation. So, if you take it from verse 19, it says power, that is, God's ability raised Jesus from the dead. Same God. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Are you following? Power above, describing up his body and power, and then all of that. Now, what am I driving at? That God accomplished something, and Paul had seen it from Scripture, or God had given him revelation to see from Scripture that this is what has been promised, and this has been fulfilled, and any man in Christ ought to be able to see and know that already existent reality. Now, from verse 19, we can also look at it this way, that when God raised his Son from the dead, and that gospel was preached to man, anyone who believed that gospel identified with that resurrection and also got raised from the dead, then we can say the power of God raised us from the dead. Like we saw in Romans 1:16, that the gospel of Christ is the power of God. So when the gospel is preached, a man receives it or believes it, and that gospel raises that man from the dead. Now it says that's power of God to save. But it continues to say a whole lot of things, and this is why it does so. So let me let you see it this way, that the same power that worked towards us when we believed is the same power that God worked in Christ to raise him from the dead, right? And it is the same power that set Christ in heavenly places. And then it describes the setting in heavenly places. That power set Christ in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. So, without observing certain words, you should already have an idea that this power is so great. It did this, it didn't stop there. It did that, it did so much that we're looking for words to describe what has been done. Okay? So we can say the power of God raised Christ from the dead
and set him at the right hand of God, far above. Hallelujah. Now, it will make more sense now if we take a closer look at verse 19. Because what he said in verse 19 is what gave birth to the things he started saying to show the magnitude of the power. Hallelujah. To show the magnitude of the power. So, Ephesians 1:19. The exceeding hyperbalo. That's the word in the Greek. Hyperbalo. Hyper, then B-A-L-L-O. It means to throw beyond the usual mark. Okay? I want you to be imaginative. Because when words are used to qualify things, you are expected to the one using those words to qualify them has a picture in mind and then is using words to try to communicate it. Are you there? So these words that we're examining now, they are the adjectives of power. Are you following this? So exceeding in the Greek, hyperbalo, it means to throw beyond the usual mark, to surpass. Or it could mean beyond anything. Now, take a look at that. When you say beyond anything, try and imagine the state of the speaker's mind. When it says beyond anything, it's like some of those words that we use. Colloquial manner of speaking. When you want to refer to a student that is very brilliant and you say he's a winch. Because if you say he's brilliant, maybe the person may not get you. You say he's very brilliant. This one is more than the student. You know, set the exam and the teacher failed it. You know. So if I say very brilliant, you still won't get it. You'll be thinking I'm talking about, you know, that guy that is always scoring 70, 70, 70 in school. You know. Then you just say he's a winch. More like you take it like that winch is the height of brilliance or, you know, whatever. So, that is when you introduce hyperbole in qualification. Are you following this? Please, don't lose this. Just keep your mind on what we are saying. Keep your mind on it. Hyperbole. Now, in those days, it's a word that is akin to sports. Such that you have a sport that has maybe a mark, maybe shot put, discus, javelin, and then there's a mark you're supposed to throw. Maybe there's a world record mark, and then you throw, it goes past it. There is a usual mark when you throw, and it goes beyond the usual target. You introduce hyperbole. But don't forget, it's not like this is world record, and then you throw it past it, just 1 meter or, you know, 500 centimeters. You will bring in the effect of beyond anything. So let's think about it. Let's assume someone wants to throw shot put. Someone wants to throw shot put, and then he's in the field, and then he does like this.
and he lands in another stadium, 1,000 kilometers away from the venue. That's beyond anything, beyond the usual mark. Okay? Not just some. It surpasses it that you're wondering why it is too much. You get it? That is when you introduce such a word, hyperbole. Okay? Now, greatness is the Greek word megathos, which is used for magnitude. So, in qualifying or quantifying the magnitude of the power, he introduces the word hyperbole. The exceeding greatness of his power. To us word who believe, then he uses the word according to the working. The term the working there in the Greek is the word energia. Energ, then E-I-A. It is efficiency, which connotes strength. Now put in bracket, useful strength. Useful one. Okay? So, when he uses the working, don't forget again, he says according, like a proportional statement. According to the working, the efficiency. If you are science inclined, you would know when you say the efficiency of a machine, you are referring to how productive a machine can be. It is said that, you know, no machine is 100% efficient and all of that, just to give room for whatever errors and all. So, energia, efficiency. Okay? Now, the next word will be mighty. Mighty is the Greek word ischus. I-S-C-H-U-S. Which means ability or forcefulness or strength. Now, power is the word kratos, which is might with great power, or you say vigor or dominion. Or you can take it like this: power in its displayed strength. Right? So, if you take a look at those definitions again and look at this, is trying to describe power as it has worked in a particular event. Are you following this? The power that is at work towards us who believe is according to the efficiency of power in its displayed strength that was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Are you following this? So, in looking at the event of resurrection, that the power of God raised Christ from the dead, Paul says we need to know the hyperbole magnitude of this power. But the word power there is Greek word dynamis, which will refer to inherent ability. So, there is an ability in us because we believed the gospel. But it says the magnitude is so much And we need to know it according to that its magnitude. But for you to know that magnitude, so that it doesn't look like, say, guys, there are things in you, and it's very big. Go and find out. Then everybody finds out according to how they feel it is big, according to their experiences. But it draws a reference point. Are you following this? Now, the reference point of this exceeding great power or exceeding greatness of power is all you see from 19b all the way to 23. Is the effect of hyperbole. It says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, reference point, when he raised him from the dead. The Upabalo effect is to let you know that, hey, it doesn't stop there. He then set him far above. Then in case you want to use your mind to imagine the far above, he begins to talk again. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Now, look at it again, the effect of Upabalo. He names and names and says every name that is named. He now says, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, if we are going to look at it from the layman's point of view, when you see the exceeding greatness of his power, you will be saying, is it not just to raise him from the dead? You get the point? So, he now goes beyond the usual mark, in quote, to show you that the power at work in you, this is what it has done. Hallelujah. This is the far-reaching effect of this power, and it is in you. Now, so if we're going to look at it, so we say, power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and given to be all of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. Hallelujah. That is the far-reaching effect of the power. Christ wasn't just raised from the dead, he was set at the right hand of the Father, far above, and it didn't end there. That was done for his church. Oh, glory to God. In other words, let's make it very plain. He was raised from spiritual death to life, and he was made to sit on the throne of God. The highest place of authority. He didn't stop there. Still the effect of Upabalo. He now made us to sit together with him. Hallelujah. That's the far-reaching. Imagine the example we gave. You are playing a game. There is a record. And then just throw beyond the record. You will be declared the winner. You now throw. He lands in another country. Or let's assume in this place, there is a rat that is always disturbing us. Running everywhere, eating up certain things. And then we say, today we'll kill you. And then we order for nuclear bombs. That will blow up Africa, Asia, America. That That rat will not run away. We will blow up the entire place. That even if he escapes, the far-reaching effect of the bomb is still going. You will die. Hallelujah. That's what it's describing here. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians 3. Now, you will notice something. That Paul's discourse in Ephesians 1:19, yes, to no power. But if you take Ephesians 1 from verse 15 to 23 together, the strength of that discourse is not power, but salvation. How you will know the power working in you is how well you know what happened at salvation. Are you seeing it? That, yes, you would know the power that is at work in you. But much more, how far-reaching redemption is to mankind. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians 3, from verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 and 21. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. You see it again. According to the power that worketh in us. But see what he initially says. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. You know, the reason he talks like this so shortly and not say so many is because he has extensively said something in chapter 1. So when he says here, unto him that is able to do, immediately your mind should cast back to Ephesians 1. That, hey, this is what he did though. He raised him, set him at his own right hand, far above, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and made us sit with him. So he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now let's examine verse 20. That is able is the word dunamai, which means to be able or possible. So, referring to ability, capability, or capacity. Okay? Now, the word to do is the word poio. P-O-I-E-O, which means to make ready. Make or make ready. Now, the word exceeding here is slightly different from the one in chapter 1. Exceeding here is the prefix of the word exceeding in chapter 1, hyper, alone. Now, hyper in the Greek means over, beyond, or across. Now, hyper is added to words to give it a certain effect. For example, if you get to Romans 8:37, it says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors," right? Now, more than conquerors together is the Greek word hypernikao, from two words, hyper and nikao. Hyper and nikao. Now, hyper we have just defined. Nikao refers to conquest, to gain victory, to be engaged in a battle and win. That's nikao. But when you add hyper to it, that's why English put it that way. More than conqueror. You know, if you think about it, if you ask someone, what do you, you know, just an Englishman speaking, say, you are more than a conqueror. Say, what exactly do you mean? It's that hyper effect. Adding to it that, well, there's no word I want to use to describe your victory. I will just, more than conqueror. Are you following this? So, here, hyper is exceeding. Alright? Then, abundantly is the word perisos. Peri, double S-O-S. P-E-R-I. Now, this word is very interesting. Because on its own alone, it's like hyper balloon. Alright? Now, the definition of the word perisos is over and above. I'd like you to take everything down, so I'll be slow a bit. Then another one, more than is necessary. Then, preeminent. Then, more eminent. Depending on, you know, the context you're using it. More remarkable. Superior. Excessive. Surpassing. Then lastly, beyond measure. Hallelujah. So, think about it again. Over and above, more than is necessary, preeminent, more eminent, more remarkable, superior, excessive, surpassing, beyond measure. Why add upa to it again? So, it's like, you're saying, over and above. Beyond measure. Hallelujah. So, to me, when these words are used, it is when you have something before you to communicate or describe, and words fail you. Hallelujah. Words fail you. And then you say it that way. Words fail you. You look at it, how do I explain? What quantity will I use to quantify this? If I'm going to jump into science, I can't say 10 billion joules. It's not enough. I can't use a quantity. I'll just hupa. Hallelujah. So hupa perisos gives you a picture of something that is excessive in all ramifications. So verse 20 again. Now unto him that is able or capable or has the capacity to do hupa perisos. Above all we ask or think. Maybe that will help us too. You know, if you're going to ask something, you must have processed it in your mind. In processing it in your mind, you must have been maybe taught, or it must have come by, not influenced by someone, an event, knowledge. You must just know something. It must have come by knowledge. Are you there? Now when you say, or think, what would that suggest? That even if you did not know it up until that time, that you can phantom it in your mind. It says it is still more than is necessary. It will still surpass. There is still enough ability to do over and above. So, for all I care, you can sit down and spend the next 1,000 years thinking about more magnanimous things. It will still be more than is necessary. Hallelujah. So, really, folks, there is nothing you can think about that the power of God that is at work in you. If you will write that, write it very bold. That is at work in you. You know, for some people, they are quick to believe that God can do it. But through you, he can. It is possible. But he alone by himself, he's all powerful. But folks, the reality is this. The power at work in you is what Paul describes here in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. So, ask yourself a question. What exactly is the task? That a sinner be saved? That the earth be filled with the knowledge of his glory? That the sick be healed? That more men are trained and pushed out into ministry? What else? That we walk in miracles every day? The power of God is more than is necessary. Say with me, say the power of God is at work in me. In mighty measure. The power of God is at work in me. Hallelujah. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. I want you to think on those words again. Don't mind looking at your notes. Think on those words again. Over and above. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Over and above. In other words, there is no task that I would ever be found incompetent. Ever. Everybody has tried for that believer. He doesn't want to grow. I will grow him. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not saying I have done some, I have lived before, you know, and had some certain experience. No, that's not my boasting. My boasting is in the power of God. Hallelujah. My sin, the magnitude, the exceeding magnitude of the power that is working in me. Then I know I'm competent and I'm able to accomplish the task. Hallelujah. But see, let me tell you something. As you focus more on salvation, you will get to see and come to understand, and you will be able to build much confidence in this already existing reality. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in tongues a bit. Well, let's pray in tongues a bit. Pray in tongues. Obviously, your focus is on what you have learned. To your feet, pray in tongues. I've told you there is a deliberate attitude the believer has. Oh, glory to God! Glory to God. So when we speak of the finished work of Christ, we know what power accomplished it. When we speak of the eternity of salvation, we know what made it possible. Now that same power is at work in you. Come on, I want every one of us to pray. Pray very well, in tongues. Out loud. Come on, let's pray together. Rabagadala tegedede siprati lagundo sapatidas rei saptagadido pronso procondo scoptobo tide papadandios rabdakota bagidada sabragadele gadado sabadi rabadada badada sapatina bagadon soprotolo godoboro bagadolo podados ha sapapapapapatele gadabato kositom brebilibatete ha sadadadadadadash. Pray for yourself. Oh, shop up a Tito Pate, Ashadi Dido Bondos, Erredadadad.
Oh, glory to God. Come on, don't be tired. Pray for yourself. I come to know. The exceeding greatness of this power working in me. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Say with me, say, I know what God did for me in Christ. Therefore, I know that His power is mighty in me. Say, I know the magnitude of what God did for me in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I know His mighty power is at work in me. Come on, say it. I know what God accomplished for me in Christ. Therefore, I know that His mighty power is working in me. Say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my church, all the time. Say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my church, all the time. Say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my church, all the time. Come on, say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my touch, all the time. Say, I know what it means to be saved. I know God saved me from sin eternally in Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere. His power is working. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. The power of God is on you now. Take it now in Jesus. That's it. Let's just enjoy the power of God. Come on. Let's just enjoy the power of God. Let's just enjoy the power of God. Let's just enjoy the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Go with it, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be filled in Jesus' name. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Laugh it out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 For there is no need to wait for a stirring, for there is no need to wait for some spectacular happenings to make you see that, hey, the power of God is working in you, to make you see that, hey, you are a supernatural being, to make you see that, hey, the workings of God are in you and are working mightily. There is no need to wait for some spectacular stirring. For as you eat, for as you walk, for as you go about your natural activities and do them naturally, the same way is the supernatural and the power of God found in your activities. So when it is time to laugh, laugh. When it is time to rejoice, rejoice. When it is time to jump for joy, jump for joy. When it is time to receive, receive. When it is time to shout and walk in boldness that all that God has endowed you with is mine and really mine. Do it so and do it naturally and effortlessly. For God has endowed you and bestowed you with all that he will ever bestow you with. Yea, there is no need to wait for a spectacular stirring. All that you need is to act on that which is yours already. And mightily you will see that power that is mighty in you work effectively through you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Give him praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There will be more openings in the minds of men to accept this truth even from you folks. From you. I don't speak concerning the body of Christ or the church at large. I speak concerning the edifying assemblies. The edifying assembly, yes, the churches, those I see before me and those who are not here. There will be more openings. Well, it will result in more opportunities and perhaps more centers, but I see more openings in the minds of men accepting that which is truth, accepting that which is true. There shall be more openings. Be diligent to obey when he says preach, when he says do, when he says pray. Be diligent. For as you go about the things you have been doing up until now, the things that you've been doing, the evangelism, the going out to preach, the follow-up, as you go about doing so, take heed, for there shall be an opening that will be able to reach out to more people. And in the name of Jesus, it is so. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and just thank you. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's say the words together again. Say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my touch, all of the time. Come on, say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my words, through my touch, all the time. Say, the power of God is at work in me, at work through me, through my touch, through my words, all the time. Say, I heal the sick, I raise the dead, I cleanse lepers, I cast out devils. In all boldness, I exercise my authority in Christ. Say, I heal the sick, I raise the dead, I cleanse lepers, I cast out devils. In all boldness, I exercise my authority that is in Jesus. Say, I heal the sick, I raise the dead, I cleanse lepers, I cast out devils. In all boldness, I exercise my authority that is in Jesus. Lift your hands, just bless his name. Glory to God.
Thank you. Just lift up your hands, just worship. Oh, glory to God. Zanono, Saturday, Lamane, no. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Minyo, Risto, Vate, Kota. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Volarinde, Storike, Voliste, Voliste. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Volire, Zovine, Zovine, Rostate. Zangota, Zangota.